Greetings, people loved by God. Wonderful to see you here this evening on this, the third weekend after Pentecost. Also welcome those who are tuning in via Facebook or YouTube or through our website or through KFUO. We welcome all of you to worship as well. A reminder that our website, chapelofthecross.org, has links to Bible classes and Sunday school. That's also a reminder for you here, too. We can't hold those in person yet. Those are posted on our website. There's also links there on the website to download the bulletin for this service under the Resources tab, and you can give your offering to the Lord using the Give tab there, or you can simply mail your offering to the church office. This is our third weekend back for in-person worship, and while some of you here have been here each of those weekends, there are also those who are worshiping in person for the first time since March. For those who are new, being back here at worship, and just a reminder for those who have already been back, all of our liturgy and hymns are printed in the bulletin. You will notice, though, that we're not going to be doing a lot of singing. We want to keep our aerosols to ourselves. We will sing the final hymn together, but all the rest of the hymns will be sung by the soloists. You may place your offering in the offering receptacle in the narthex. We will not be receiving an offering during the service. For the Lord's Supper, after I speak the words of institution, we will bring the bread and the wine to you in your pew. What you will receive is just a little chalice with bread sealed on one side and with wine sealed on the other. We will also have a non-alcoholic option if you would prefer that. The non-alcoholic elements have the letters N-A written on the top of that little chalice. Please wait to open the sealed chalice until after we've passed the bread and the wine out to everybody. And when we've all received the bread and wine, then we will all take the body and blood of Christ together at the same time. After the final hymn, the congregation will be dismissed by the ushers row by row, beginning in the rear of the church and then moving toward the front. As you are dismissed, the ushers will collect your used communion cups when you leave. May God bless our worship this day as we listen to our opening hymn, O Holy Spirit, Enter In, 913 in Lutheran Service Book. We stand. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own ways. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly. We have not spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Amen. Even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have sinned, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. Hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, since you have called us by the light of your truth to let that light shine through us to the world, give us the boldness, love, and strength to be your faithful witnesses through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this evening is from Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him, or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hand. You
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us are afraid of something. If I would just kind of go down the center aisle and ask you one by one, I don't know if you'd want me to do that, but if I did, what are you afraid of? If I asked that question to you, I don't think we'd have to hesitate long to give an answer. We know what we're afraid of. And that fear is never really far away from us. Way back in 1933, in his first inauguration address at the height of the Great Depression, Franklin Delano Roosevelt no doubt meant to be soothing when he insisted the only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. But truth be told, we have so many fears. Our fears run deep and broad, and they are every bit as diverse as we are. But actually, when you look at the studies, there are some fears that quite a few people have in common. And there are fears that are so strong that they are classified as phobias. And when that phobia gets triggered, you might feel an overwhelming desire to escape, to run, severe trembling, excessive sweating, heart palpitations, irregular breathing. You might have a choking sensation in your throat. You would feel nauseous, dizziness, lightheadedness, and more. The top five phobias: arachnophobia, fear of spiders. As many as 1 in 4 men and 1 in 3 women suffer from that fear. Undoubtedly, some of us do. Agoraphobia, fear of open or crowded spaces. Or on the other hand, many suffer from claustrophobia, the fear of tight spaces. One that I can sympathize with is acrophobia, the fear of heights. Not a big fan of being somewhere up high and then looking down. I don't like that at all. And top of many lists of phobias is social phobia, which is the fear of judgment or fear of rejection. And included in that phobia is the fear of public speaking. And I can't help but to think of Jerry Seinfeld's famous words about the fear of public speaking. He said, "For the average person, if you have to go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy." And a lot of us feel that way. I'm kind of used to it by now, but a lot of us feel that way. Tomorrow is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to dads everywhere. I do thank God for you, dads, for the Christian witness that you are or you have been to your children. Fathers reflect our Heavenly Father's love as you nurture and as you love and as you train up children. But fatherhood in itself can produce some pretty intense fear. A group of fathers was asked what they feared most before they became dads for the first time. Here are some of their answers. Would I ever sleep again? I fear that I'd bring home the wrong baby from daycare. Financial stress. I fear that my children would see me as I saw myself, inadequate and flawed. One wrote, how will the fact that he is a young man of color growing up in this country affect him? I fear that I won't be able to protect him from everything. I fear that my wife will want another one. This is my favorite. I feared for the world because my kid is epic. A lot and a lot of fears. Fears of fatherhood, fears of spiders, fear of heights, fears of public speaking, even, as our gospel reading talks about, fears that come because we are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples to share the gospel and preach that the kingdom of God is near. I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, he says. You will be handed over to the local councils and they will flog you in their synagogues, he says. You will be brought before governors and kings, he says. You will be arrested, he says. But don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid. As a sheep among wolves, as I'm flogged, as I'm brought before the rulers, as I'm arrested, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he says. And Jesus goes on. Your family will betray you because of your faith, even to death, he says. All men will hate you because of me, he says. You will most certainly be persecuted, he says. But don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid. As my family betrays me to death, as I'm hated because of my faith, as I am persecuted for believing, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid, he says. Yes, don't be afraid. Jesus is telling his disciples then, and he's telling his disciples now to be prepared, not scared. He's encouraging a blessed courage that only comes from a connection with him. He's wanting his disciples not to speak the two words where most fears start. You know what those two words are where most fears start? Here are those two words. What if? When my kids were little, we would read to them the delightful poetry stories of Shel Silverstein. He actually has a poem about these two little words where all fears, many fears, start. This is how it goes. Last night, while I lay thinking here, some what-ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems just swell, and then the nighttime what-ifs strike again. Oh, it would be pretty easy to live a what-if kind of life, wouldn't it? A lot of us do that. No one, we wonder if something could go wrong, and we wonder what's around the next corner, and what if it's bad? But Jesus does not want us to live a what-if kind of life. He wants us to live fearless, not phobic. He wants us to trust in God, not to be afraid of the circumstances of our life. And as Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he wants them and us to be fearless, not out of ignorance, but because of the love and the care and the protection of our God. Maybe you know people who are fearless, but they are fearless out of ignorance. A few of my children displayed this kind of fearlessness when they were little. They were fearless of the drop-off from the trail because they were totally ignorant of the danger of falling and getting seriously hurt. They were fearless of the stove because they were ignorant of the kind of burn, the pain that they would feel and they would get. They were fearless of the traffic in the street because they were totally ignorant of the damage that a speeding car could do to a little body. Jesus does not want us to be fearless in that way. Not at all. That is why Jesus clearly articulates the danger of being a disciple. He wants us to be fearless, despite the fact that we are fully aware of how difficult being a disciple of Christ really is. He wants us to have a fully informed fearlessness. He wants us to be fearless, not because we are disciples, but because we are his disciples. That's why three times in this text, Jesus encourages us and empowers us and says those three wonderful, beautiful little words. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And there's a wonderful, beautiful little reason why he tells us not to be afraid. He doesn't just say, hey, don't be afraid. He tells us why. Don't be afraid, Jesus says, because of your wonderful worth. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. You're valuable to me. You are precious to me. You are loved by me. You are cared for by me. And if you are valuable to me, precious to me, loved by me, cared for by me, then you can live courageously. We really do not have to fear because he has set our worth. We really can live fearlessly because he has shown us that he is faithful. Well, God loves you so much. There's nothing he doesn't know about you, you know. God is attentive to you. God looks on you so attentively that he can tell you right now how many hairs are on your head. He keeps a running count. And for some of us, maybe you subtracted a few this evening. God knows us so very well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the good. And he also knows the bad. So don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when an all-powerful God knows that I've sinned and I've fallen short and I've failed and I've been selfish and I've spoken spiteful words and I've had hateful thoughts and I was proud and I was greedy. In short, I've sinned against him by thought, word, and deed. By what I've done, by what I haven't done. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he says. You are valuable to me, precious to me, loved by me, cared for by me. God sees us. He knows us. He knows our sin. And after knowing all about that, even knowing all about that sin, he still says, I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to send you my son to be your savior. And he sends us Jesus. And Jesus goes to the cross. And he dies for those sins. And he forgives us. And he gives us the gift of everlasting life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, he says. God knows every flutter of every sparrow. And you are worth so much more to him than a little bird. You are worth so much to him that he even knows the number of hairs on your head. You are valuable to him, precious to him, loved by him, cared for by him. Don't be afraid. Reminds me of a wonderful little hymn that we sing from time to time here at Chapel of the Cross called Have No Fear, Little Flock. Remember that hymn? Beautiful hymn. Listen to the words. Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear, little flock. For the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock. For the Father will keep you in his love forever. Have good cheer, little flock. Praise the Lord high above. Praise the Lord high above. For he stoops down to heal you, uplift and restore you. Praise the Lord high above. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for being our Savior and our friend. We praise you for your death and your resurrection and the promise that you give your children that because you live, we shall live also. By your Holy Spirit, continually encourage us in the faith that we may be your faithful servants. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we are humbled and awed by your intimate knowledge and care for our lives, even to the point of having numbered the hairs on our heads. We ask that you provide for our temporal and eternal needs according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, strengthen the witness of your church on earth and of this congregation, that through the testimony of our lips, your gospel may be winsomely proclaimed to the lost. Bless especially Chapel's virtual vacation Bible school, which is taking place this week. Work in the hearts of the children and their families as they hear your word through this unique VBS experience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Even as we remember and commemorate the end of slavery in the United States 155 years ago this past week, we ask that you look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and the hatred that sometimes infects our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And in spite of our sin, our struggle, and our confusion, work to accomplish your purposes on earth so that in your good time, every people and nation may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we are frequently overwhelmed and overpowered by emotional and physical ailments. Come to us, Lord, and rescue those who are in need. And tonight we especially remember Sherry Baker, Carolyn Brutlog, as she has surgery this week, Bea Doherty, the daughter-in-law of Myra Trells, Virginia Schmidt, as she is now under hospice care, and John Seward, who is also now under hospice care. Oh Lord, give your help, your strength, your comfort, and your healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we give you special thanks and praise along with those who are celebrating special milestones of your grace, especially Milo and Alice Lombard as they celebrate their 57th wedding anniversary, and Bud and Gail Schultz as they celebrate 64 years of marriage. Continue to lead, to guide, and to bless them and their marriages. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and mercy, on this Father's Day weekend, we praise and thank you for all earthly fathers through whom you have given us the gift of life. Make them examples to us of your fatherly love and help them to proclaim to their children your mighty deeds in Christ, bringing them up in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, Lord of our life.